there is any question or anything that wants to be said, please. So I like to call this talk a better lover, and you will see why very soon. Better lover, yeah, a better lover. So this is Tukaram, a sage from India, from Maharashtra. He says, we are too shrewd to trade something for nothing, dead to the ego, trading down. Are you a madman? No one kicks a good lover out of bed unless they know they got two more on the way over. Yeah, I said again. We are too shrewd to trade something for nothing. Like, we will not, like, yeah, you translate this. I only know this by intuition, so what will be this?
Clever.
Ah, yeah. We will not, yeah. We are too clever to trade something for nothing. No, this is easy, no? Dead to the ego, and then kind of trading down. Are you a madman? No one kicks a good lover out of bed unless they know they got two more on the way over. Like, no one will kick the lover out unless you know there are two more waiting to come. In that case, you may consider kicking the one you have, no? You know, it's up to everyone, but if there are two more, usually. So, this cleverness first, no? Like, somehow we agreed that to be clever is very good and is good. But in this situation where we come to this meditation hall, cleverness could be left where we leave our shoes, because this cleverness is all the time counting, so that I get best benefit for me. So there is this mind clever. Its job is to make sure I always win. I always have the best. No? And because we are so sure that this being clever is good, then we give the power to the sight, to the mind. And when we do that, it is much more difficult to get in touch with something else. Like, in other words, like this cleverness speaks much louder than the belly. Someone says, like, wisdom whispers, doesn't scream. So something like that. But unless we unplug the cable to cleverness, we have no ears for something else, much subtle, much soft or whispering, not screaming, you can say. So, forgetting to be clever when we come in this hall could really open the door for something else to get in action, something else to have the word. And we all know that we would not like to trade something for nothing. So sometimes when we hear this word ego, and somehow books and sages and people agree that ego should go away, then something in us wants to get rid of that. And through the mind, we really cannot figure out how to do that, how to get rid of the ego. But also it is almost unthinkable because there is no possibility through the mind to know what to expect. So getting rid of the ego, even though as an idea is very good, in reality, like the whole system shrinks, like would be like getting rid of something. And that is scary. So in this invitation to the two lovers, I see this possibility for us to, in one hand, to be reminded that that which through the ideas seems scary, in the reality may not be the case. So it is actually impossible for us to let go of the ego. Like, no matter how many kind of practices we do, it is impossible to directly approach the ego and kick it out. And also, like, if we think of that, even thinking of that, it feels like scary. Where I will be if ego is out? Who I will be if ego is out? But if we forget about the ideas of kicking ego out, because this is what spiritual people should do, kicking ego out, then we can do something else, which apparently is not directly kicking the ego out, but that will bring us to a place where accidentally we will fall somewhere where we will lose ourselves and win much more than ever expected. So that which through the mind is kicking out and losing, therefore like fear, being left with nothing, in the experience is the most fulfilling thing we can ever touch. Many times a little glimpse of that, a little like 1/10 of a second falling into that already can fulfill very deeply inside, or will for sure like be worth anything, like no matter how many years in a cave with a little lungi we spend. No? This moment of falling erases any kind of sense of hard work or any sense of what I have done to get there. And many times, like in this falling, very naturally people report as home. Falling somewhere more known than myself. falling somewhere, where what comes is this sense of deeply, we can say, belonging. There is no other possible place to be. In that falling. But also in this inviting the two lovers, we hear about this possibility of falling into home, like falling. Again, not directly doing anything for any, like for specifically for that, but going with, we can say, the pleasure of the lovers. And also that tells a lot about what I like to say, like the back door. Like we are so convinced that by our actions, change comes. Like there is this action, so there is this result. This is like how we learn that life works. My effort will lead me here or there, like very specific place we imagine in the head, no? But instead of going there where I imagine in my head I'm going, like stepping back somehow, and would be more like eating the path itself. Like not like performing the path or the techniques, but eating those techniques or letting the path itself be our own child. Like, so to give birth to our own path, we can say. So it's not like true ideas or incorporating external tools, but finding my own way. And the aliveness and the beauty of this own way. Again, many times we expect to find the way, no? The way. And then, you know, once I will find the way, I'll hold to it and go, no? But in this being with the lover, it is more like while walking the way, we find the way. There is no like setup where I go, like mine cannot reach the end. That's also what is very different from our daily life situation. Like mine cannot picture where we go, but probably because there is no way for the mind not to picture where we go, mind will keep on popping up pictures and We will go like donkeys following, like one picture after another picture, and then another picture, no? And of course, that can keep us moving, no? Donkeys also move this way, but at some point, the carrot needs to drop. And without pull from image, from idea, we will find this pull from the heart, where who knows is going, you know, and it is not that important to frame like where and how, but just the simple knowing, acknowledging this unstoppable movement towards light, which is also not our great idea, by the way. It's like, it feels like our great idea, like I decided to go, but somewhere this unstoppable movement towards light, if we are really honest, somehow it was there before we were born. No? So that kind of movement needs to lead us, you know. I don't know why, but this word devotion comes because somewhere it is much closer to devotion, it is much similar to devotion than anything to do with effort. So this devotion somehow has inbuilt the juiciness. There is no like devotion without juiciness. And when we find this juiciness, there is no heaviness, no? There is no sense of turning the wheel, no? Or duty. But more like sense of enjoyment. Many, you know, if you hear the devotional songs or people who had been very devotional, what they express is this kind of, for sure not dragging themselves into meditation, but waiting for the time to jump into meditation. I remember this friend, this Christian eremit who lives in the mountains by herself in Catalonia. And then I remember going to visit her, and the expression of joy at 3 o'clock of the morning, when was like kind of finally time to go down to the chapel and sing to God, like sing these psalms, how you said, psalms, like in the Bible, you know, and play music. And I also enjoyed that a lot, no? But to feel that kind of almost like you can see like this girl, like somewhere like innocently kind of jumping of joy, because time to meet the beloved had come. That was really like telling to me, you know. Especially coming from some communities where, like, you know how it is, you know, somewhere. You don't know if they are dead or alive. Like, really, even physically, no? You want to touch to know, no? You see this, like, sometimes Catholic nuns getting, like, way too serious about the whole thing. So, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you don't know if they are real or they are ghosts, like going to the chapel, you know. So I really want to touch, no. But this one was really opposite, and the way she would just play music, just the sitar, this like very, you know, romantic kind of thing. Hours and hours. And the nourishment you could feel, you know, there was no need for food almost, you know, just this joy was like big. So when we meet this kind of practice, like when we meet, when that which we call practice could also be called celebration, or that what I love to do, or place of nourishment, then like somehow like big highway is open. There is no other possibility than to be brought there. And there is the movement still, but it's almost like walking and floating at the same time. So there is the going somewhere, if we like to say, but there is no heaviness in this going somewhere. It is going almost kind of by itself, you know. But to meet this place, it is like so alive. That is almost scary. Like it is so alive and so good that it feels like kind of you know, how, I don't know how to say, but mind freaks out because doesn't find any ties to that. How to say, any rules. Like somewhere we believe we keep going because we are on schedule. And when we move this other way, the schedule gets erased the rules get erased. So kind of fear comes that I will drop it somehow, you know. Somewhere it feels without rules, without commitment, we can say. There is no way. But reality is that in finding this beloved, this juiciness, no rules or commitment is needed, you know, like to our surprise, this gets refilled automatically, you know. So fear would be like if we run out of juice without rules, I will not get up, kind of. So, but the surprise is that in moving from that place, the juice is refilled for free, you know, like this. Refilled, and doesn't leave us, we can say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this devotion could turn into more like adoration or kind of contemplation. Which has this sense of like more, even more feminine, like less active. I don't know how to say if less active could be kind of. And this adoration would be just like spending time with, or this just being in that state and letting that do its job, letting that simple being in that place be the transformation itself, you know. So I don't know if there is any question or anything to say.
The impression that we don't have a choice whether we go there or not.
Yeah.
It's not like I decide to go there and then this happens. It's more it's accidentally,
yeah,
as you said before. So whether I leave my shoes and my mind outside and go in without mind, it's not up to me. You understand? I don't feel I have a choice.
Somewhere you do. Like, there is no choice if you want, But by hearing that this is possibility, there is more chance for the non-choice to choose that, you know?
Okay.
Because at the end, in a way, it is all a bit mathematical also, we can say, no? Because there is no choice, but like through the mind, no? But we can say like the system will choose that as the system feels safe to choose that. So there is, we can say, a reason. Not reason as we know reason, but there is a process in which like the system needs to, we can say, no, this is kind of my own invention in terms of words, but would be like this process, like the system has to be convinced that it's safe to leave the mind there. So it is, we can say, it's not a choice through the mind to leave the mind there, but it will choose that as we give space to something else. And as this something else has space and leads us, like as we find this new chair and this new way of living, mind can rest. Like the old way of functioning can convince itself that it's not needed anymore. Yeah. So somewhere like something goes on in which like by falling again and again into this place, we start to feel confident with the feet on the air. We start to feel safe with the feet on the air, you know, which through the mind is like, no way. But through experience, we start to feel a way, you know, and that's the system choosing, kind of. You know. That's why I like this a lot, no? That many times we speak about letting go and trust, you know? But there is so much force in this, no? Some people when they say let go of any stupid thing even, you know, I let go of my trousers, no? And they say it as if I have done something great, kind of, no? Letting go of, you know, and there is like so much force in this letting go, you know? Like you can feel that this person would really like to not let go of those trousers. But because this person sees like how stupid it is to be attached to the trousers, like can push it, you know? I don't know why, maybe as spiritual practice or like, so to be seen as kind of good person, whatever, you know, it is. That's why, like, what Tukaram is saying, like, no one will let go of something without gaining something. And if we understand that, like, we don't let go of the trousers because I think I should let go of the trousers, and it's like, it feels like on the edge, like pushing that. But actually, like, it gives so much joy. Like, it's like finding these golden trousers, then the old ones, of course, like very quickly you can put in the trash can. But in finding this treasure, then there is no force in letting go. Like, letting go happens. And when that happens, you don't go around saying, I let go of such and such. You just find yourself without that, whatever that is, no? So, but this can only happen by finding a better treasure, you know? And this is what I like a lot, you know? That is really not from ideas, you know? We can say even like, we are greedy all the time and all through. We just let go, you know, this lover, because we find two better ones. Not because of how great I am, I let go of the lover, you know. Because something else is nourishing. And when we find this place, like, there is no space for ideas, you know. This is experience, you know. And if we move from this place, like, then we are really like on top of this kind of bicycle that moves with air. Or what I was saying, no, that it, you walk without touching the ground. There is no heaviness. You
Buto is a Japanese dance.
Okay, yeah.
Because in the Buto we dance a lot from what is hidden in daily life, or what is in the subconscious, things that are scary. And so my teacher was trying to get us into a state where the mind is more still, so we can hear all those subtle things. And he was often giving a reading with a whiteboard and making nice drawings and saying, no ego, because ego is like, doesn't help you to get into this state. But because my ego heard almost every day, no ego, it got so scared to get to go to this school, because of course I saw it like in every dance, it's there, and it's also what partly creates the gift of what we dance with in the end, like the knots that happen in your body or in your life because you are scared or you get hurt or whatever. And now I'm thinking that it would have been so helpful if he could have used words of invitation rather than words of what is not welcome. But I guess the difficulty is, if we give words to it, we create another image. So again, we miss the invitation to really go to what we cannot imagine yet. So yeah, I'm just wondering how to invite when you haven't had this experience yet. So I saw my classmates being in very subtle dances, very different states. But I have never experienced that, or I thought I never experienced that myself. So then it's very difficult to feel at ease or to trust that this will happen or will open. Yeah. I'm just wondering how.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. But in that sense, like, I think what you are saying, no, like to go step by step, no, because there is big love of yourself to walk. Like, I feel more like acknowledging what is, because no ego would be like pushing away who you are, you know. But who you are is the only thing you have to also experience the non-ego state, you know. So to go directly to the no ego, like to attack yourself in order to be yourself, like, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't seem to make much sense. People do it all the time, no? I see. No, many paths are based on that, you know? Mm-hmm. But somehow, like, honoring who you are, where you are, like, honestly, and then with that, very close to yourself, being very egoistic, doing really what really, like, what feels genuine to you, and honoring that step by step, you know, that to me has more chance. Because if you don't stop, like if you just keep honoring yourself, you know, and deeply listening to your longing, which comes from your ego also, like your individual being, you know, through that, honoring that and being with that, there is more chance, like, to fall into this place where you look around and you are not there, you know. That seems like more natural than like attacking yourself before you actually know who you are, you know, like to throw stones in your own house, you know. So, but, you know, we will not erase all those ideas because they are around, no? So they are fishy, they are very much around. And again, this world of ideas comes a lot by, like, someone really walking the path, yeah, and finding himself or herself falling into this place, yeah, and then speaking about that. And in this speaking about that, there are two things, no? One could be very, very encouraging for someone who is really ripe for that, like ready for that, and could also be very much misleading. Because you do what that person says at the end, but we forget that what this person is saying that happened, you know, that there is a process. We just see the result and want to get to the result, you know, and we jump the process somehow.
Us, or when the time comes, when we
Yeah.
The preparation for that can be very egoic.
Very?
Egoic. The spiritual practice is coming from an egoic place. I am doing it. I am meditating.
Yeah.
I am letting go. I am
announcing. Yeah. Yeah.
The preparation.
Yeah.
Before something takes over that's not of us.
Yeah.
We have to, in pedantic terms, balance the letters and tongues. But there isn't a kind of shortcut to the state of growth. Unless there is.
Shortcut.
It's very hard to talk about in non-paradoxical terms.
Yeah. No, but that's what I mean, no? To,
okay.
Like, there are some teachings that try to attack the ego.
Right.
You know? But the ego, we can say, like, the only thing I have is myself to do this practice. So, the dissolution of that will come, but almost like by taking care of the ego, like, you know, like by taking care of who I am, like really deeply listening, we can say like my needs and my way and tuning into that, and then the dropping of the ego will come, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. That's what we are saying. Yeah. But if we hear these things, then instead of walking the path, like by experience, many times we come into the idea world attacking the ego. And that, it seems to me, that has no, there is no way out, kind of.
Maybe it's also many ways,
yeah.
For some people. Direct attacking work somehow.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who are into a really bad depression, and then from one day to the next something happens.
Yeah. No, but if this is honest, no?
Yeah.
If this is honest, this happens. But then it doesn't come from the idea.
From the idea of what?
Of, like, I should do this.
Ah, no, it just happens. No?
Yeah.
Not planned.
No, yeah, but this is the big difference, no?
Mm.
Like here, people come to town and start to ask who I am, no? But we have to, that may work by chance, no? But we have to remember that came like very specific to that person in very specific moment, like was something very, very genuine, like from the experience itself. Genuinely, this question came, you know? So that is direct to the ego, but through experience.
Yeah.
But if we come to town, no? And we pick the book, no? It's easy because there are like 2 million books there. Then we try to copy that. This is ideas, you know? And that is the big difference, you know? Between that idea of trying to copy that and loving yourself, giving yourself like cappuccino, I prefer giving yourself cappuccino, you know? Like giving, like loving yourself, you know? More than like through ideas trying to push away the ego, we can say. You know? So this genuine, like very genuine call, you know? Then, yeah.
Big joy.
things. There are people who meditate for a long time and they find great joy, obviously, and otherwise they probably wouldn't do it. So they reach states that are very joyful and wonderful, but you never know, but somehow to the outside it appears that the ego is not dissolving, but they are just enjoying this stage, or this state, or let's say the ego is just enjoying this new kind of joy, and they are resting in this joy like for hours, and you know, as long as they want, but they come out and nothing changes. So, yeah, I just don't know, but what makes the difference? Obviously, the other thing is also possible, you know, that you find something and it really changes, and something like this dissolution process is happening, but in some cases it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, like, because, you know, like, if we speak about all the way, of course we have, like, we find this joy of practice, and that is also a trap, no? Like, even this enjoyment and even this juiciness, like, if honesty is there, that keep rolling, no? There is nothing in meditation which is static and forever, because everything is meant to be dropped at some point, no? Or go away, however, you know, at some point. So, like, ultimately we can say this also. Like, sometimes when there is, like, people who enjoy a lot, like, devotion, that somewhere becomes trap also, or becomes, like, you know, like, stop. Because also is identification with this enjoyment, no? And it's not that it's bad, but it's also, like, stopping, you know? Like, is identification, you know, so that's, you know. So really, you know, there are many things, you know, in all traditions that speak about this danger, no?
Yeah, what I exactly mean is, like, what...
And, but this is one of the biggest dangers, you know? Yeah.
And then the rest happens by itself.
Yeah.
But it seems there is, like, there's a certain difference.
Yeah.
It doesn't make... I'm just asking, what needs to be there in order to make this trap not happen? Like,
yeah.
Like, you said honesty. I don't know, maybe that's...
Yeah, honesty. Honesty, like this ability, they say in the text, like this ability to separate milk from, like, water from milk. So this ability keeps on being there, but there is true that there is a moment where you don't choose that, you know? But that needs to happen. That is true. Like, it's not like the joy is the last word, but I'm pointing out joy because if we find that, it's like lottery. Like, like, if we find that, it's like owning an aeroplane somehow. So it's very good deal, you know. Otherwise, we are with our donkey, you know. So that's why I'm promoting that, you know. But ultimately, that also has to drop. That's for sure. Someone speaks, and to me, it's like a beautiful image of living devotion, someone who is devotional, like 100%, finding herself with the devotional kind of path going away, and it's like giving your daughter to me married, you know. And if we know how this is in India, that is really giving your daughter away, like, kind of. So this kind of thing, you know, like when this moment comes, like it is there and it needs to happen, but it is like so dear to you, like that it's like giving daughter to the new husband. So but for now maybe we speak about finding the daughter, no?
This is all to me, it's all of this is very complex and full of subtlety. Pardon?
She is not hearing.
Okay. I'm just being honest as I am.
Good.
All of this seems very complex and very difficult to understand what we're seeing. I mean, we have we have what seems like positive things happens as we do our practice, and then we fall back sometimes, and the way we're talking about it seems very orderly and very direct, and it doesn't seem that way to me. I mean, it just seems like it's this, all of these things are happening, and we're looking at these things, and then we think about the things, and we try to make sense out of them, but sometimes we can, and sometimes we can't. And I guess, is it just to kind of just just going on with things that go on and it's just very difficult to understand what we're seeing, or maybe we can't, maybe it's difficult to put those things into words. I don't know. Can you
yeah.
I think I mentioned this once before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want, one day we can speak about something that we can all understand.
Yeah, well, yeah. It would be like, examples or,
yeah.
Things that clarify.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah.
But it seems like we're a little light on the examples and what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the nature of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not good in examples, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not criticizing.
No, but also that's true, Jack. You know.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult sometimes to understand. Yeah. Yeah, but it is also not so important, like, we can just drink, if it feels good, you sip in, and if it doesn't feel good, just leave the bottle next to you, you know. Don't sip it in, you know.
Yeah. And the bottle is our practice, our spiritual
No,
practice?
Like, what I mean is like, first, that there is, like, not to feel that you need to understand everything. Like if we can give this freedom to each other, that we don't have whatever is said, we don't all have to understand everything, you know? But if you can just drink what makes sense to you, drink what sits good in your stomach, and don't drink what doesn't sit good in your stomach. You know, I like to, yeah. So maybe we keep silent for a little bit.